The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Each year, Jesus' parents went up to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to festival custom. After they had completed its days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Thinking he was in the caravan, they journeyed for a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances. But not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions, and all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and before people. The Gospel of the Lord. Since it is the feast of the Holy Family, I thought it might be good for us to take a look at what is given to us in the Gospels and in tradition about the Holy Family. In some ways, we have anesthetized and we have separated the Holy Family from the human condition. I remember when we were building the education center, and at the entrance there's an image of the Holy Family. And I said, "I want to see Joseph with his arm around Mary." "Well, you can't have that. We've never had Joseph touching Mary." I said, "No, I want an image of Joseph with his arm around Mary." And that's what's there. Because we have so separated the Holy Family from the human condition that we're wondering if they were really human at all. So let me see what the scriptures tell us about the Holy Family. In Matthew and in Mark, chapter 6 in Mark, and chapter 13 in the book of Matthew, there's a very interesting insight into the Holy Family. We are told that Jesus returned to Nazareth, to his hometown, and he went into the synagogue to preach. And after he preached, the local people said, "Who does he think he is? Don't we know this man? He's a carpenter, the son of Mary," not the son of Joseph, "the son of Mary. Don't we know his brothers and his sisters?" And both Gospels even name his brothers, James and John, Simon and Jude. They name the brothers. So how do you reconcile this blended family? Origen, this theologian, about the year 200, is very close to the earliest traditions of the church. Origen explained it in the manner that Joseph was an older man, which would explain his absence in the adult life of Jesus. He's never mentioned. He was an older man, had been married previously and had children. His wife had died, and he was espoused to Mary. And therefore, the brothers and sisters mentioned in the Gospels were actually from the previous marriage of Joseph. Therefore, it would mean that the only child that Mary had was Jesus. Now, Jerome, when he translated the Gospels into Latin about the year 400, referring to James, the brother of the Lord, the Adelphos of the Lord, translates that as cousin of the Lord. If you read the Vulgate, the translation of Jerome, he will refer to James, the cousin of the Lord. That was the manner in which Jerome began to explain to us the extended family of Jesus. You want to keep that in mind, because we'll come back and visit that again in a few moments. There's also a very interesting reference in chapter 3 in the Gospel of Mark. I know many of you at home are looking this up, so look up chapter 3 in Mark. And on that occasion, something very unique happens. We are told that the mother and the brothers of the Lord come to take him home because they thought he was out of his mind. It's exactly what it says. They were worried about him. He didn't even have time to eat, it says. They were worried about his lifestyle, his prophetic preaching, and they came to take him home. It gives us the human context in which to meet God's revelation in the Holy Family. So you begin to wonder, if they were really human, was this family human, or were they divine? Was Jesus fully human, and was Mary human? Well, in the Gospel today, we have what appears to be, at least even in a mild form, a sense of questioning or conflict, which Jesus says, well, didn't you know? And the parents said, well, we've been searching for you with great anxiety. How could you do this to us? Jesus, didn't you know I should be in my Father's house? Or, better translation, I should be about my Father's business. We don't want to refer to the temple in Jerusalem, Jesus calling it his Father's house. So it's more accurately translated as about my Father's business. But there appears to be, and clearly, they did not understand what Jesus said to them. And Mary kept all these things in her heart. So we have the humanizing, the enfleshing of the Holy Family, and the teachings which come from that. All our families, probably everybody's family, in some way, we have somebody who is different. They're just different. Could be a child doesn't meet the parents' expectations. We had plans, and the plans didn't work. We had visions, we had dreams for our children. You know, we used to talk in the old days back in Ireland about the fellow that went to the seminary to become a priest, and then he left. And the father said, you know, son, my great dream and my great prayer always to have a son a priest. And the son said, father, I have the same dream and prayer myself. So, you know, we have these dreams and prayers and ambitions and all this, but the human condition sets in. If we have somebody in our family who is different, read it as a blessing. Read it with the eyes of faith. It's an invitation to be more gracious, to be more understanding, to be more forgiving, to be more patient, to be more inclusive. You know, Augustine
at least is credited with the saying, Innocens alibus unitas, in dubiis libertas, sed omnibus caritas. In essential things, let there be unity. In doubtful things, let there be freedom. But in everything, sed in omnibus caritas, but in everything, let there be love. Is this true in our family? I am remembering when I talk this way about a family very dear and very close to me. Some years ago, the father of the family, incredibly devout, faithful family. And the father was in the last stages of cancer. And one of his sons had wandered off and lived a curious lifestyle, left the family, left the faith and things. And this man who is dying was really very anxious and disturbed over this one son. And each time I would visit him, he'd bring this up, that he was disturbed and he was anxious about this. Couldn't quite figure that out. And he's coming to his death. And then shortly before he died, I went to see him on one occasion. He said, everything is fine. I'm peaceful. I'm ready to die now, peacefully. I said, fine. He said, I figured it out. Well, tell me, he said, he's my son. He's my son. That's all that counts. Everything else is secondary. And now I am ready to die in peace. So in our families, we may have this unique person, a person who is different, doesn't quite fit. And in the eyes of faith, look at the family, the Holy Family. Where were these brothers and sisters when Jesus was in crisis? There is no mention of brothers and sisters when Jesus was going through his crisis. Only the mother was there. So where is the family when I am in crisis? Is this a human Holy Family? I think we have to put flesh on the Holy Family and find a place where we can truly belong to the humanity, the holy humanity of the Holy Family. It's not just true in a family, it's true in a church. There's a statue up here outside. Don't look up, you can't see it. It's outside there. We put that up a few years ago. It's a statue of the beloved disciple. There's an image of it, by the way, as you enter the hall, a smaller image of it. The beloved disciple is mentioned only in the Gospel of John, and for a long time, it was presumed that it was John himself, because the beloved disciple is never named, but clearly it's very close to Jesus. Now, I asked Raymond Brown, who was the ultimate Johannine scholar, and he said it might be Lazarus. You may remember in chapter 11 in John's Gospel, Martha and Mary sent word to Jesus, said, the one whom you love is sick. And then when Jesus comes to the tomb and Lazarus is entombed, he's dead, Jesus weeps at his tomb, and the people say, see how he loved him. So there was a minority opinion, it might be Lazarus, this beloved disciple. Raymond Brown says, no, it's an image. The beloved disciple is everybody who follows Jesus Christ. So we put that up there. It's an androgynous statue, and it represents everybody who came into this church since 1928. Everybody in every condition. Each one a beloved disciple. That's very consoling. Each one of us is a beloved disciple. So So wherever you find yourself here, you belong to the Holy Family. And if we look back over a year and look into a new year which is coming, we need to discover the grace of patience, the privilege of forgiving, the real wonder of including people who are different, people with whom we differ. Now, we all got those Christmas cards, you know, with the family, and they're just beautiful, and everybody is smiling, and they're all just completely adorable. I got those Christmas cards too, and there's the family, and they say, "Look happy, everybody, look your best." We got the picture, that's a Christmas card, that's it. Now we go back to being human again. But God appears not in the moment in which our family looks perfect. God is present to us, within us, and we make God present precisely when we are in a place of struggle or imperfection, a place of humanity where we are given the extraordinary grace, opportunity to make God present in the imperfections of being human, keeping in mind that the lens through which we interpret and make judgments is also from our damaged humanity.